We're turning to Psalm 107, please. And let's unite our hearts together at the throne of grace in prayer. Our gracious God and our Father, we bless Thee that as we come to Thee, we come to One who sets His feet in the storms of this world. We know, Lord, that the clouds are as the dust of His feet. And our God, as we are here today, we are but poor worms, we're nothing, we're but just creatures of Thine. We bow before the sovereign God of all the earth, and we acknowledge who Thou art. We bless Thee, our God, that there is One who is a loving God, a God of grace, that we can come to today, and Thou wilt instruct us, lead us, and guide us by Thine eye. Lord, bless our coming together as we consider Thy Word just now. Speak to us in it and bless us. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. The world has been shaken and moved by the disaster that has taken place in Southeast Asia, the mighty tsunami wave which was caused by an earthquake under the sea and swept at 400 miles an hour across the coasts of Southeast Asia and Sri Lanka and India and Thailand and other places around the Indian Ocean. And as you know, the death toll has now reached more than 150,000, and we're warned that it may go higher than that. And who could not be moved by the sights of fathers carrying their little children, of little ones bereft of mothers and fathers. We see fathers searching for little ones that were swept out of their hands by the mighty flood that came in. We understand that a great percentage of the ones that were killed were children. Maybe a quarter, even a third of them maybe were children. And they knew nothing. Many of them were in swimming pools, knew nothing of the mighty wave and destruction that was coming their way. Right, we saw a program during the week. An Englishman who was there had lived along the beach of Phuket. And as he was in his house, he heard the mighty wind. It sounded like a hurricane. And he wondered what it was, and he opened the door. And as he opened the door, the mighty wind or the mighty wave was just right at the door, up above the house, and swept in. He survived, but his Japanese girlfriend doesn't seem to have survived. And of course, as we think of that, we cannot but be moved. We cannot but think of the people that have been overcome by those things. And Christian sympathy goes out to each and every one of them. And there has been a mighty wave, an outpouring of sympathy. People trying to help. The Dean of Belfast, of course, has made an appeal and raised over £1 million. And the Disasters Emergencies Appeal in the United Kingdom has raised over 80 at the present time, and it's the same in many other countries. A great wave of care and love to those around about, and we thank God for that. And of course, in our denomination, we have our own appeal, and many thousands of pounds already have gone into that appeal, as we have said. And there's no doubt of the concern and care of many people towards what has taken place. And we need to help them, we need to pray for them, and we need to do what we can. We thank God that there is a God in heaven who cares for those that are in need. However, in the wake of the disaster, there have been many voices that have been raised which have called into question God and what God's role was and the whole thing. And one of the most prominent voices in that regard was the Church of England Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams. And he said in an article on Monday, last Monday, he said, it would be wrong, I'm quoting from it would be wrong if faith were not upset by the catastrophe which has already claimed the lives of more than 150,000 people. And he declared that prayer in that situation brings what he, and I'm quoting, it brings no magical solutions to the awful disaster. Then in Wednesday's newsletter, Belfast newsletter, the Dean of Belfast, Houston McKelvey, took the opportunity to hit out at what he called Bible thumpers. And he said that the Bible thumpers are strangely silent about what has taken place. And again, he indicated that the disaster was a challenge to faith. Isn't it remarkable to see how soon the faith of the liberals are shaken? Doesn't it indicate how shallow their faith is? But one of the things that Dean McKelvey has accused those that he calls Bible thumpers, those that take the Bible seriously, he says we're silent, we're saying nothing about it. And he's implying that we've nothing to say, that there's no answer to what has taken place, and that the Bible has no answer to what has taken place. Well, if that's what Dean McKelvey thinks, he's sadly wrong. He couldn't be more wrong, because the Bible has an answer to all the situations. And as we're faced with questions like that, we need to answer them, and we need to face up to them. If our faith is right, then there has to be some kind of answer to the situation in which we find ourselves. And it is in order to answer that question that I've turned your attention to this psalm here, Psalm 107. And you may have noticed in verse 25, it says about God, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. And then he says in verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. And so today, just for a few minutes, I thought we'd take the time to look at what the Bible has to say, particularly this portion of Scripture and others, have to say about disasters and the things that take place in our world. Where is God in all these things? I thought we'd take the time to look at the lessons that come to our hearts today. Well, first of all, I want you to think about the realities in the disaster. There are a number of realities that come to our minds, first of all, from the Scriptures. As we face disasters like this, not only the tsunami, but other disasters that have taken place, and awful things maybe that have taken place in your life. And the first thing I want you to see is that God is sovereign in nature. The psalmist is able to say in here in Psalm 107, verse 25, for he, or God commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. And there's a reality now that we face, that God is sovereign in all things, and that God is sovereign in nature. That God does raise the waves of the sea. That God does raise the stormy winds. That God does permit the earthquakes and the things that take place. The he in the verse is God. He raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Oh, and there can be no doubt in our minds, and we cannot in any way go away from that, that God is in control of nature. Of course, most people seem to think most of the time that there is nobody in control of nature. And people think about and say about nature forming things, and nature has been involved in the process of evolution, and that nature is something outside the control of any. Somehow, when the disaster happens, somehow there is somebody in control of nature. And of course, that is an indication of the fact that there is a God. Because people, down in the depths of their heart, know that there's a God. Why would they blame God if there is no God? Oh, it's all right thinking that there's no God most of the time and saying that nature does this and the earth does that, but somehow when disaster strikes, it's God's fault. And there is a knowledge in the heart of man that there is a God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 8 it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. But you notice that it says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. There is at the very heart of every one of us a knowledge that there is a God. And there are people that seem to find it convenient to blame God now, but their very fact that they blame God is an indication that they know there's a God. If there's no God, why blame him? If there's no God, why think about him at all? If it's just a fate of nature, why should we? No, it's an indication that there's a God in heaven, man knows about God, and it's also an indication that the carnal mind is enmity against God. Men rise up and if it only comes to their mind that they reject it again, it's an indication that there is a God in heaven. But we see that God does permit disasters. Yes, he does. We have to say that.
We have to admit, he's in the whirlwind. He's in the storm. Nahum, the prophet Nahum, in Nahum chapter 1, verse 3 says, "The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet." So there's a reality that we have to face here today. And it is God who permits the natural disasters that take place. The Lord is in control of all things. Deuteronomy 32, verse 39 is an interesting verse that we need to face. It says there, "See now that I am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." And I want to tell you something. This is something solemn, men and women, today. That God has a right to kill and to make alive. He is the creator of all things. He has a right to kill and to make alive. And the fact that you and I are alive today is only the mercy of God. He might have killed us long ago. He might have wiped us off the face of this earth long ago. There are people today, and many people think that they have a right to live to 70 years and beyond. We don't have any such right. We don't have any such right. God knows the day of our death. God knows the day when we will go out of this scene of time. It's only the mercy. And thank God that there are more people that are living longer lives. But it's only the mercy of the Lord that you get that. And we need to be clear, men and women, that in the midst of the forces that are outside our control, we should not be tempted to deny that God is in control of all things. For God is. God is in control of all things. He kills and He makes alive. He's a sovereign God. And there's another reality in the midst of this all. And that is that God has a purpose in all that takes place. We may not be able to see the reasons for the things, and we know that there are awful things that take place. Indeed, the Bible predicts that as time goes on, that earthquakes will increase and awful disasters will get more and more. And the Bible tells us so. But God has a reason for all those things. Now, we don't know the reason for them all. Or the mind of God is beyond our minds. But God is in control. Now, God's not the author of evil. It's the devil, of course, that does the actual thing, but God is in control, and God permits them all. You say, "I can't accept that." You can't accept that. Well, what's the alternative? The alternative is that there's no God, and we're all just like the animals, and therefore it doesn't matter about those people out in Asia. Sure, they're just animals. They're just like the rat that dies in the gutter. People don't believe that. You don't believe that, do you? You don't believe that your friends and loved ones that die are just like the rat that dies in the gutter? But that's the alternative. That's the only alternative. To believing that there's a God who's in control of all things. Otherwise, we're just like the animals and we perish. But men and women, you know that we're made in the image of God. And we have to bow to the sovereign will of God. You think of old Job as he fought and saw disaster after disaster happen in his home. And the day that there was a one messenger after the other that said about this disaster that happened in his family and that disaster that happened in his family. What did Job say? Well, we read in Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" And men and women, we need to realize that we're just creatures today. We must bow before the sovereign God of heaven. We see the realities in the disaster. But then I want you to think a minute about the reason, or the reasons for the disaster. Why does God permit? Well, we just said that there are things that we can't understand. However, if we look at the Bible does indicate some reasons why disasters and things like this take place, and awful things take place in our lives. Why does suffering come about? Why do these awful things take place? Well, there are a number of things that are suggested in the psalm before us and in other scriptures. The first reason for disaster and hardship and difficulty is because of the fall. It says in our text that the Lord lifts up the waves and causes the stormy wave. But we remember that when God made the earth in the beginning, He was able to say when He had made it all, it says, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And when God made the world and fashioned it, there was no death, and there were no disasters, and there was no suffering, there were no storms. And at the beginning of the world, before the fall, there were no disasters and things that... What happened? Why did the disasters take place? Well, we remember how that man succumbed to the temptation of the devil. And they took and they ate of the forbidden fruit. And what does it say in Genesis 3, verses 70 to 19? It says, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth for thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So the ground became cursed, and death entered in. Why? Because of the fall, because of sin. Now that's the ultimate reason for the Sumatra tsunami. That's the reason for death, disaster. That's the reason for death. And men and women, we face death every day. And that's the reason for it. That's the reason why it comes. And many people are dying every day. Because to die in 150,000 at once, it doesn't make any difference to the principle. We're dying every day. Why? Because of sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And we need to realize this today. But then there's another reason, not only because of the fall, but it comes as a warning. Things like this come as a warning to our heart. The death and the disasters that we face day by day are there to warn us. Why? Because God is warning us about our sin. The Bible says, death passed upon all men because all have sinned. You know, people asked us why those people died. Why those people? Was there something about them that made them more wicked than other people? Was it something that they had done that made that God sent in that disaster upon them? Well, we realize that there are those that say whether it's a judgment. And of course, there's those that say, well, the island of Thailand there and all around it is militantly Muslim, and they've been attacking Christians and doing all that sort of thing. And so they have. And there are those that say, well, that's a judgment. There are those that say, well, all those countries around there, Buddhism and all the rest, is a judgment from God. And they have worshipped false idols. We think of the economy of Thailand, given over to prostitution and pedophilia and things like that. There are those that say there's a judgment. And I'm not saying there's no element of judgment in it, because there probably is. And when I'm asked the question and somebody says to me, do these people deserve it? Do they deserve it? Well, the answer to that is yes. They do deserve it. Because they are sinners. And I don't want to be callous about it, but I want to say this to you men and women. We all deserve it. There's not one of us that don't deserve it. Are those people out there any more wicked than we are? No, they're not. Now you look around you today and look at this land. You think of that awful program that they put on the BBC last night. Jerry Springer, the opera, so-called entertainment, full of blasphemy against the Lord Jesus, full of curse words of every kind. You look at the drugs and the hooliganism and the vandalism. You look in this wee village around us and look at the drugs and the broken homes and the immorality that is all around us. And men and women, we deserve it. We deserve it. You deserve it. I deserve it. You remember what the Lord Jesus said when He was faced with a question about a disaster? There were two disasters that they mentioned, the Tower of Siloam that fell on some people, and then there were those whom Herod had mingled their blood with the blood of the sacrifices. And they said, well, they were coming implying to the Lord that these were sinners above other sinners. What did the Lord say? He said, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? He said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And unless we repent, men and women, there's coming a day when we will perish. Sooner or later. Sooner or later. We will perish. You will perish, men and women, unless you repent. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And you look at this wee province. 35 years of violence. 35 years of robberies. 35 years of awful things. And if we're in a false security today, then get out of the false security. Because God can sweep in some other kind of disaster. There are many people right about us in the field that men know everything. I was telling you about the man on the radio last week. And he was saying that as a warning to us, because man thinks he's in control of everything and knows how to predict everything. And he said, disasters like this show us that we're not in control of everything, and we can't control everything and predict everything. And there's a message, men and women, there's a warning today. Repent! Repent! And then there's another reason why this thing has taken place. Can I suggest to you that it is a picture of an awful destruction that is yet to come? You know, the Lord will send a mighty earthquake on this world, mightier earthquake than ever seen before one day. In Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, we pointed out this last week too, and we showed you many other verses. But in Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with the glory, with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. And men and women, this is but a token of a day when God will shake the heavens and the earth. And the God who could do what happened or permit what happened in the Indian Ocean is a God who can shake the earth. And not only the earth, but the heavens. You saw the pictures of men swept away, could do nothing. Saw the pictures of little children being swept out of mothers and fathers' hands. And our hearts go out to that. But men and women, there's no way that you'll escape the judgment of God. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. Every day, men and women, He's angry with you. How would you stand in a day of disaster? How will you stand against the God who can shake the heavens and the earth? What an awful day that will be to stand before God in that day. And then the disasters, of course, ultimately are for the glory of God. And seems like an awful statement, doesn't it? God would use these, but they are. You know, Joseph was a man that faced many disasters, as it were, in his life. He was sold as a slave out of his family, and he was thrown into prison and falsely accused, and all sorts of things happened to Joseph down through his life. It was a life of one disaster after another. But you know, at the end of his life, or near the end of his life, he could look back and he spoke to his brothers who sold him as a slave into Egypt. And he said, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. And ultimately, men and women, all things are for the glory of God. And so as we look today, we think of the reasons for the disaster. Then could we think a wee minute about the reaction to the disaster? You look there in the portion of Scripture that we read in Psalm 107, and if you look at verse 25 and verse 26, the Lord speaks there about the waves mounting up to heaven, the great waves that come from the depths. And in verse 26 or verse 27, he speaks about the people reeling to and fro like drunken men. But then he says in verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. And the best thing for the people in the disaster to do is to pray. And the best thing that we can do is pray for them. The Archbishop of Canterbury said that prayer is no magical formula. If he meant by that, well, prayer is a little bit more complicated than the magical formula. I know that. But if he was suggesting that prayer doesn't work, I want to say that he's wrong. He's wrong. Prayer does work. God answers prayer. And we should pray especially for Christians and Christian workers out in the midst of that. And then not only should we pray, but we can do something else. We can care for the people and try to meet their needs. If you look there in the psalm, you notice on down in verses 36 and 37, how the Lord cares for these people, he says, and there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. And God cares for those who are in distress. And so should we then, if we are his people. Of course, John is very strong about this. In 1 John 1, or 1 John 3 and 17, he says, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And we need to give. And we need to help in any way that we can. For God is a God who cares. And we can do something else. We can use the instant to speak to people about the God who's in control of all things. It's a great opportunity to witness to others, to proclaim the love of Christ in the midst of everything. And so we see the reaction to the disaster. But one more thing briefly I want you to see, and that is rescue from the disaster. Look at verse 29. It says here in verse Psalm 107, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. And the God who can raise the storm is the God who can cause the storm to cease. In Nahum 1 verse 8, the Lord says, but with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. And there is an overrunning flood of drought that will come upon those who are not the Lord's. You know, dear friend, the wrath of God today has been dammed up by the mercy of God. But one day that dam will break, or at least be taken away. And the flood of God's wrath will come down upon you like a big tsunami wave. And you'll be carried away into destruction. With an overrunning flood, he will make another end of the place, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. But there's another side. In Psalm 18 and verse 16, the Lord says, he hath sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Only the Lord can save you. Only the Lord can save you out of those waters of destruction. Only the Lord can set you in a large place and plant your feet upon a rock and establish your going. Your sin and the consequences of your sin will sweep you away, dear friend. But God can save you. And he will save you today if you trust in him. There is a God of mighty power. We've just seen a little bit of it, dear friend. Just seen a little bit of it. Only a small, minimal, little manifestation of it. How will you stand in the day of God's overrunning flood? Come to him and let him lift you out of the flood today and get right with him. May you do so for his name's sake. Amen. We'll just bow in a word of prayer and then we'll come down and we'll not have a hymn because our time's gone, but let's just unite together, please, at the throne of grace and prayer. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank thee for thy word today that speaks to our hearts, and we realize the might and power of God. But also we thank thee that the God who sends the overrunning flood is the God who can lift people out of the overrunning flood. And is willing to lift people and does lift people
out of overrunning floods of wrath. Lord, lift men and women today. Give them that grace to repent and turn to Thee, whom to know is life eternal.